Our next case this morning is number 07-3407, the United States against Schnell. Mr. Goodrich.
May it please the court. This is the United States of America versus James Schnell. James Schnell is a resident of Jasper. He's in his late 50s. This conviction is an appeal from his conviction as a result of jury trial. And what we challenge is basically whether either by operation of state law or by 921-820B's anti-mousetrapping rule, Mr. Schnell's civil rights had been restored, or whether the government is stopped from prosecuting him for the 210 guns which were recovered from two residences in 2005 and 37,300 rounds of ammunition. This conviction evidences Mr. Schnell's third felony conviction. All of his prior convictions are federal felonies. The first occurred in the 1980s, in EB8406CR, which was a tax conviction for failure to report and pay his taxes. He represented himself pro se in that matter. Subsequently, in 1992 or 1991, he was charged once again in federal court. His 91 conviction was a 922G1 conviction, similar to the two counts for which he was convicted in the instant case. The basis of Mr. Schnell's argument is quite simply this. Whereas the brief starts out talking about whether the 80s conviction was an unfair trade practice conviction, the reason that was put in the brief is really to express to the court that Mr. Schnell was a nonviolent offender. He's never committed a crime of violence in his life. He just likes collecting guns. It's his hobby. It's his thing. And he's a convicted felon. But because that conviction stood and it was valid at the time he was charged at the incident offense, I really don't think that's an issue for the court. I do not prevail on that issue. And the United States has briefed a response, but what I'd like to do is shift our focus to two primary issues. First of all, Mr. Schnell received information sheets from the probation department either at the beginning or the conclusion of his terms of supervised release. The first, with regard to his first conviction, he received an information sheet from the probation office on September of 1987. This information sheet appears in the record in pages 278 through 283. That information sheet clearly states to Mr. Schnell that he has lost no civil rights. Then again, in April of 1992, he received a second information sheet from probation. Again, that information sheet represented to Mr. Schnell that he had lost no civil rights as a result of his conviction. Subsequently, and I've included in the record, after the first information sheet, approximately at page 282 of 283, the current information sheet used by the United States District Court for the Southern District, Indiana Evansville Division, and that information sheet, unlike the prior two which Mr. Schnell received with regard to his 80s conviction and his 90s conviction, does state a qualification that he has lost his right to possess firearms. Because he received these information sheets, I think 921-820B, the final sentence in the line of cases of Irwin, Dollar, and Glasser, and Judge Easterbrook's wise opinion, especially in Glasser, says that if the government is going to prohibit a convicted person from possessing firearms, and the government gives a representation to that defendant with regard to civil rights or anything else, the government has an obligation to be absolutely crystal clear and inform the defendant that firearms are not kosher, and it has to be point blank. That happened in, with that did not happen with regard to either Mr. Schnell's 1980s conviction or 1990s conviction. So first of all, I think the government is stopped from prosecuting him in the instant case. Second of all, the government puts a great deal of reliance on the Beecham decision. The Beecham decision was decided in 1994. And with regard to both Mr. Schnell's prior convictions, he received the first information sheet clearly expressing to him he had lost no civil rights in September of 1987, and he received the second information sheet in April of 1992. Both of those information sheets were received by Mr. Schnell prior to the decision in Beecham, which says that federal law controls restorations. So the Glasser opinion, the Irwin opinion, the Dollar opinion, which was the law in place at the time, effectuated a restoration of Mr. Schnell's rights, also pursuant to Indiana state law. And that was the law in place at the time. So by operation of law, he had a restoration. Beecham then cannot be applied retroactively to say that that restoration did not occur or undo it.
Does the record show at all that he ever made any affirmative attempts to ascertain whether his felony convictions disqualified him from possessing a firearm?
Yes, in one context. When he was initially approached by the state law enforcement officer who was accompanying the ordnance officer in Jasper for the tires and debris around his house, his parents' house where he was living, he went down and met with that officer and showed the officer the information sheets, his research, his notes, saying that he believed his civil rights had been restored. With regard to any 925C procedure or presidential pardon, absolutely not. The government has taken the position that they think that was intentional by Mr. Schnell because he had violated his terms of supervised release in the 1980s conviction, so the government would not have gone forward with his restoration as it stated in that prior plea agreement. Mr. Schnell takes the position, however, that he got the information sheet. It told him he lost no civil rights. He believed what he was given,
But he doesn't really know what all that means, does he?
Actually,
he
does.
He didn't say anything about guns in there. I mean, he's a tax protester, I assume, isn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. After his 90s conviction, I'm very firmly convinced he spent the 10, 12 years of his life in thorough research of the gun laws. And I think that actually started after the tax conviction when they searched his home. They uncovered multiple volumes of decisions of the United States Supreme Court and this court as well. So he is very aware of the precedents.
So, I mean, these information sheets never mentioned guns at all. They just talked about your civil rights.
Absolutely, and that's his argument. His argument says that if you're going to have a firearms disabling qualification in an advisement or you have to be explicit. You have to say you can't transfer, you can't possess, you can't, you know, exactly what Glasser requires. That's absolutely correct. And where they say you have lost no civil rights.
The correct way to look at this to be you are not allowed to possess firearms unless there is a explicit statement that you are able to do so.
And that would be the opposite of the decision in Glasser, which was Judge Easterbrook's decision. The final sentence in 921A20B is an anti-mousetrapping provision that puts the obligation upon the government to be clear and succinct and absolute when it tells someone that, you know, if you haven't lost any civil rights, you know, that includes a firearms prohibition. An example of what the government should have done is found at page 333 of the separate appendix, and that's the current information sheet, which is used by the federal government. And actually, the exact language that you find now is on page 334. That was not in place at the time he came off supervised release, either in the 1990s or the 1980s. That's his argument, and I think it really just boils down to whether, you know, that information sheet matters, and the government concedes that there is not a decision directly on point, and this is a case of first impression for this Court of Appeals to decide what is the effect and whether an information sheet produced to a defendant coming off supervised release can affect a restoration under 921A20.
That was the issue in for the jury to decide here, whether he had notice. Or, I assume that was his defense.
No.
He certainly had all the guns and ammunition, so he couldn't...
The day before jury trial was to start, Mr. Schnell came into the district court to enter a change of plea. The judge agreed to take him after hours. It was at 6:30. He had to call a court reporter back from Kentucky. But Jim Schnell did not survive the plea colloquy. So the judge refused the plea agreement. He went to trial the following Monday. Jim Schnell did not present a defense at trial. His pure defense was a legal defense. There were prior rulings from the district court saying that the information sheets would not be presented to the jury. I really don't think, I think all of his pretrial arguments are hinge upon the fact whether there was a restoration. If there was a restoration, he wins. If there wasn't, he loses. But we went to trial on the theory that we were trying to make a record so we could still argue for acceptance of responsibility, and actually Judge Young gave him a very compassionate sentence, in my opinion. So. Any further questions?
Don't think so. Thank you, Mr. Goodrich. We'll hear now from Mr. Schellenberger.
May it please the Court, my name is Todd Schellenberger. I'm an assistant United States attorney in the Southern District of Indiana, and I represent the United States in this appeal. For the second time, James Schnell has been convicted of possession of a firearm in violation of 18 U.S.C. 922G. In this case, Schnell was found guilty based on two prior felony convictions. Both of his felony convictions were sustained in federal court for violations of federal law. Schnell is asking this court to rule that his civil rights, including his right to possess firearms, has been restored. Pursuant to the United States Supreme Court decision in the Beecham case, in order to prevail, Schnell's rights must have been restored by operation of federal law. Federal law controls because both of Schnell's predicate convictions are federal convictions. Schnell has not been granted any form of restoration under federal law. Schnell cites no federal statute authorizing a restoration or any other federal law that supports his claimed restoration. Three specific methods of restoration under federal law can be ruled out in Schnell's case. Neither one of his cases have been overruled by any federal court. He's never received a pardon from the President of the United States, and he never sought or received any restoration under a specific procedure established for restoration of firearms possession rights in the United States Code at 18 United States Code Section 922-25C. The Beecham decision completely rules out the argument that Mr. Schnell makes somewhat today and in more detail in his briefs and in his arguments to the district court, that somehow Indiana law came into play and his rights to possess firearms or civil rights were restored by operation of Indiana law. That exact argument was made by a defendant in the Beecham case, saying that his federal prior felony conviction, which was serving as a predicate for a firearms prosecution in federal court, was nullified by the law of Tennessee because Tennessee restored his rights. The Supreme Court rejected that position in a unanimous decision. Schnell argues that the probation information sheets are similar to discharge certificates that have been issued by Wisconsin and Minnesota, and that this court has reviewed. There are significant differences in those discharge certificates and Schnell's information sheet. A little common sense, I think, needs to come into play. When the court looks at these information sheets, these are a review of the rules of probation, the rules of supervision. The first paragraph of the information sheet says, attached you'll find a map of this district, and you have to stay within the district. All the different rules about reporting, filing tax returns. This is simply what is called an information sheet about the basic rules of probation. The discharge certificates that were an analysis of state law to start with and are therefore not controlling to this court's decision in this case were different in that they were issued at the end of the sentence as a result of the completion of a sentence. Restoration coming at the completion of the sentence. Here we have a situation where the individual is just starting his sentence, in particular with the 1984 conviction. He literally received the 1984 information sheet the day he was sentenced. And he has to now contend that his rights were restored the very day of his sentence before he served any part of his sentence. Language in both the Minnesota and Wisconsin discharge certificates was much broader, saying that all rights have been restored. The language in this information sheet is qualified, and it says, unless your offense is such that the penalty includes a loss of some civil rights. If one considers firearms possession rights a civil right, every felon, virtually every felon, is lost that segment of their civil rights, the right to bear arms. Likewise, Wisconsin and Minnesota discharge certificates were issued pursuant to a law of Wisconsin and Minnesota that actually does restore civil rights. There is no such federal law. And the absence of that specific federal law is the reason the district court correctly ruled that Mr. Schnell's rights were not restored by probation information sheets. A second issue about whether or not a conviction for filing a false tax return is a regulation of trade offense was also raised in the briefs, and we've responded to that in the brief, and counsel for Mr. Schnell has essentially agreed with the government's position when withdrawing that claim in the first part of his argument. Unless there are any questions at this point, I'll step down.
Thank you, Mr. Schellenberger. How much time does Mr. Goodrich have? No time? Well, I'll give you a minute if you have something you'd like to say in rebuttal, sir.
I just want to make sure the Court of Appeals is aware. The plea agreement that Mr. Schnell tried to enter on the eve of trial reserved his right to appeal this issue. Judge wasn't satisfied with his change of plea colloquy. He went to trial. His defense was, you know, did you get a good deal? Yeah, I traded in guns. Yeah, I did this. And then we preserved the record for sentencing and then for this appeal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Goodrich. Mr. Goodrich, you did serve by appointment of this court, and you have the deep thanks of the court for your fine efforts on behalf of your client. Indeed, our thanks to both counsel in the case, and the case will be taken under advisement.